The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone." And she bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a familiar story, the anointing of Jesus. And because of that, it's a fascinating one, particularly because it is found in all four of the Gospels. So it's class time. Pay attention to how this works. Matthew and Mark are very similar in their approach. The meal takes place in Bethany, but it's in the house of Simon the leper. Who it is who comes and does the anointing, it simply says, a woman. No name, no description, she just comes and does the anointing. In Matthew, it's the disciples who were indignant, and they say, why this waste? For the anointment might have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. In Mark, it simply says, there were some who said to themselves indignantly, and then, why was this ointment wasted? Jesus' response to both in both of those cases are similar, but not the same. In Matthew, it is, "Why do you trouble the woman?" As if to say, "Why give her a bad time?" In Mark, it is recorded as, "Let her alone. Just let it be. Move on." And then it says she's done a beautiful thing. At the end of it, it is described that the anointing is to prepare or ahead of time for the burial, the body of Jesus ahead of his death, which, of course, would be strange. Then there's this unique little line here in both of them. It's simpler and similar. From Mark, it says, "And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." This is an unknown woman. We don't know who it is. We have heard from tradition it has to be Mary Magdalene. Let's see how this works. In Luke, it's told in a different way. Again, we find ourselves in Bethany, and at the beginning, it does not mention who it is. It says, "One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house. When they are at the table, a woman of the city, a sinner, came in And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Here we have tears involved, deep crying that is going on here. The Pharisee who had invited him saw it and said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." But then Jesus tells a parable at this point, and it's an interesting. The name of the host is mentioned. "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "What is it, teacher?" "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and one owed 50. When they could not pay, he forgave them both. Now, which one of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, to whom he forgave more." And he said, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" In the other ones, it's just, let it be. Here he confronts him and says, "Do you really see who she is? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So this is not at all about the ointment or the price or whether or not it's a good thing to serve the poor instead of Jesus, who's an obviously a guest in the finest homes in Bethany. This is about forgiveness, which would, for Luke, be a common theme. I say this because I'm going to read the gospel again. Notice what John thinks is important in this telling. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The more we read the scriptures, the more that we find there are questions that cannot be answered. What did she know? In the text before this, we find that there were Jews who had seen the raising of Lazarus, and it said some believed and came to faith in Jesus Christ. But others ran off and told the scribes and Pharisees, who immediately began to plot, how is this all going to work out? And so one of those things is that the word went out that if you saw Jesus, because he might be coming to the Passover, if you saw him around, let them know. Whether or not they made the connection that it would mean his death is unclear as well, but at least they're on the lookout, looking for Jesus. And here it is, 6 days before the Passover, and he arrives in Bethany. Did Mary know about that? Perhaps. What was she doing with the ointment in the first place? Was it true that she went to the seller of ointments and said, I want to buy ointment now for Jesus, this person who has the power over life and death? Would she have thought, if he can raise my brother again, why do we even have to consider his death? All of these are questions that go on. It's interesting, it's fun to speculate, but in the end, we're just not sure. What we do know is that she was there. And like she was before in another story, while Martha served, she was at the feet of Jesus. The first time because she just couldn't get enough of the words of life. Now again, she is there. My particular favorite take on this is that they bought the ointment and for Lazarus. You know how that story is told. When Jesus comes, it's been a number of days after his death. And now they say, don't go in the tomb, it's gonna smell bad. So they had this ointment there that perhaps was intended to be used on Lazarus, but instead, Jesus raises Lazarus and he comes out of the tomb. What are you going to do with this ointment that's now sitting on your shelf? When Jesus comes to town, it's time to celebrate. And so she does, pouring out the ointment. And in contrast with the smell that comes from a tomb, it says, the house was filled with the fragrance of the and perfume. John, of course, is also going to throw in the contrast between Judas, who really didn't even care about the poor in the first place, and Mary and her generous gift. But that's a side and story that will be picked up in other places. My question is why? Why did Mary do it? Why does John think it's so important to have this particular story told? That this one who has the power of life and death is most important to those who have faced it. She and her sister had faced life alone or without Lazarus among them, and now Jesus has come and brought him to life again that they might enjoy fellowship and life. And it says, Lazarus was seated at the table with Jesus. It's been an interesting weekend already. We had one of the concerts that I needed to do last night. Yes, it went and sort of well. I think we're going to wrap it up well here. Another one today, which means I am out of here as soon as the service is over. So you'll have to drink coffee and eat the snacks all by yourself. But I'm sure you'll do a good job of that. Our choir is about 40 or so, but and earlier in the day, about a dozen of us met to go to a memorial service for one of our members. She was a young woman younger than I am, from Minnesota, and I thought, well, being the new kid on the block, I know what it's like to be in a group like that. So I thought I'm going to reach out to her and welcome her and make all of these connections, of course, to where she lived in Briar Lake and all of these things. So I introduced myself, and I suppose that we probably only talked for a total of 15 minutes over, a number of times. And one of the intriguing things is that she was warm and engaging and fully, just a wonderful person. And I wondered to myself, am I being just taken in here by a very attractive woman with blonde hair and really deep blue eyes? I just didn't know how that worked. But at the memorial service, everybody said the same thing. This was truly who she was. She had been married before for 27 years before her first husband died of cancer. A few years later, she happened to connect with a high school sweetheart. And they got married and were married for nine years. She came out here and was involved in all kinds of things, was on the board of and Harbor Life Watch, which has a big thing going on in Gig Harbor, of course, protecting and wildlife and those things, the waters of our Puget Sound. She just got her real estate license, and last Sunday night, in perfect health, she went to sleep and didn't wake up. She was 58. And I wondered, how is it that someone who had faced death was so positive about all of life? I think Mary has seen the same thing, that we take every opportunity that we have to celebrate, to bring the ointment that we have that makes a fragrant world, that makes a difference, that pushes away the stench and the things that don't smell so good in our world, and there are plenty of those as well. And instead, in our disciplines of Lent, to find ways to reach out and to speak about one who holds the power of life and death. And when life is given again, as it was for Mary, as Lazarus came forth from the tomb, to take those chances, those and opportunities to live in thankfulness and gratitude and celebration, even if it means you might look a little silly. It wasn't silly to Jesus. She was doing the right thing. The challenge is always there before us. Do we make the world smell better? What kind of a fragrance do we bring? Do we bring one of love and acceptance, of patience and generosity? How do we treat the people that we meet at the checkout line, or perhaps the ones in line in front of us? Do we stand there and huff and puff because they're counting out their coupons, and we think to ourselves, "Oh, come on, just get it over with"? Or are we there to welcome those that we meet, to find ways of reaching out? This too is anointment that is needed. It was done, as Jesus says, to anoint him for his burial to come. We live in that existence of one who has died for us. We too have the call to anoint and bless and to be a fragrance in this world as God provides for us the opportunities. Amen.